Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, I am sitting here in the studio with a cup of coffee from Just Love Coffee, actually, and just headed into this next topic. But listen, I got to tell you about my friends at Otter Creek Farm. I'm going to go ahead and tell you this right up front. Otter Creek Farm, if you have not checked out their website, I'm just saying you got to do it. I was talking to Frank, who runs Otter Creek, yesterday. He said that literally they've seen a bunch of folks, because of the show, I believe, calling out there and checking up on it for venues, for, you know, retreats, for weddings, for different other events. Of course, the hunting season's going on right now. They got wing shooting out there like crazy, hunting pheasant and quail. But that place is amazing. And I want to encourage you, check out their website, OtterCreekFarmstead.com. It's right here in North Alabama, and it's like an oasis. It's featured in magazines. I mean, it's the kind of place. He was telling me yesterday, and I'm not at liberty to say who they were, of some amazing individuals flying in internationally to stay there. That's how good it is. And yet the average dude like me and you, we can afford to go out there too. So check it out, OtterCreekFarmstead.com. Hey, Copper, grab that microphone.
Yes.
So, museums, you heard me talk about the Freedom Train, like a long time before you were born, 1976.
Ooh, yes.
So are you a museum person? I mean, are you somebody who likes to haunt museums and check them out?
I do, especially the art ones, but I also...
Oh, so you're an art museum person. Okay.
Oh, I really like the interactive ones though, like the, Air and Space Museum, where you can go and, or the Space and Rocket Center here. Those are really cool because they're a little more hands-on. They can be.
No, absolutely. And Space and Rocket Center, my daughter, many years ago, went to space camp at the Space and Rocket Center. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that. They even made a movie about space camp.
Nice.
Very, very cool. They've got another great one. As long as we're doing free ads here, we got another great one over in Decatur Interactive Museum, the Cook family of Cook's Pest Control.
Oh, yeah.
Founded the Cook Museum of Natural History, and it's amazing. I mean, like, I went over there and I thought, all right, my grandbaby's got to get a little older so I can have an excuse to come back here and just play. Because, I mean, it's unbelievable. That place is so world class. But, yeah, I love museums. I like history museums as much as anything, though. So, like, I love military history museums. I'm fascinated by walking through and seeing the hardware and seeing the uniforms and seeing, a lot of folks don't know, by the way. And I found this out. I mean, I didn't even know it existed until after I was elected in 2010. I've lived in Alabama the majority of my life. I'm a native son of the state. My family's been very active in the communities that our families are from here in Alabama. And yet I never knew we had a thing called the State Archives, which is basically the Museum of Alabama down in Montgomery. It's directly across the street from the Capitol. I mean, so you stand on the front porch, which is, it's one of those kind of gothic buildings, this huge, marble white columns and all that. It looks like it belongs in a Capitol. But you stand on the steps of it and you look directly across at the dome of the Capitol building. But in there is just any number of displays of the history of our state. And it's just amazing. I mean, it's literally one of those places that is world class, but it's so cool. And you've heard me talk on the show before, Copper, about the 167th Infantry. They have an entire display there, a whole room dedicated to the 167th Infantry. So they've got military, they've got, we've had at least one vice president from Alabama. Stuff of his is there. They've got statues. And anyway, it's very cool. I'm a sucker for a history museum. Just saying. There. Now you know me that much better, Copper. Did you have any idea?
I love the old forts that you can go around and walk through, and they've still got the blacksmiths and everything.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow. All right, folks, listen. Here's the deal. We're coming back up on the Triple Dipper. One of the first things I'm going to do when we get back from this short break. The first things I'm going to do is we're going to walk right into what I'm calling a woke carnival sideshow. It's like a carnival sideshow of all the freaknicks. It's just amazing. And I'm going to walk through all these things that liberals are trying to do to your rights, things they're saying, what people are trying to do to preserve their own rights because of the wokeness going on. It was like all over the board. I thought, you know what? It's going to be one whole segment, the Triple Dipper. It's going to be a woke carnival sideshow. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, Copper, I got one more museum for you. One more. Got to do it. Charlene just texted me, reminded me, the Bible Museum in Washington, D.C. Have you ever seen that?
Oh, which one?
The Bible Museum. Oh. I believe it was built with private dollars from the family that owns Hobby Lobby. I think that's correct. But it's an amazing museum. It's the history of the Bible. It's got, you know, amazing exhibits, you know, artifacts of early Bibles. But then one of the coolest things in there is they have what would, I guess, be a ride, an interactive ride. You get in this thing and it's one of those where you feel like you're flying and legit feel like you have to look down at your feet.
Oh, wow.
And you're flying through Washington, D.C. on the video. It takes you to every place where scripture is already engraved in the monuments, or like you don't realize the very top of the Washington Monument has scripture inscribed across the top of it. And so it flies you up there so you can see it and then flies you somewhere else. It's crazy cool.
No, it's very cool.
You might want to eat lunch after you go on that ride. all right, listen, we're going to walk through some wokeness right now. Woke Carnival Sideshow. So first of all, I hope y'all are seeing, we got a couple of major trials going on. Of course, the Ahmaud Arbery murder trial in Georgia is something to watch. And it's pretty awful circumstances. And I fully expect those guys are going to be guilty. The other one, the one that's garnered a whole lot of attention, is the Kyle Rittenhouse trial up in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And that one is unusual because right now everybody's talking about it being racist, and yet it was a white guy shooting three other white guys claiming self-defense. And when you watch the videos, you look at it and go, dang, dude, you apparently weren't breaking the law. They threw out the charge on weapons possession because that was not a violation of the law. But he shot three guys because they were threatening him with his life. One of them actually pointed the gun in his face. And now he's on trial for murder. Well, the prosecution in that case, so here's the first thing in this whole woke carnival sideshow. The Rittenhouse case, the prosecutors, let's just say they have not impressed. As an attorney, I will be the first to admit that in the practice of law, that there are any number of different ways you can practice law. Just like any number of ways you can practice medicine or anything else. I do not practice criminal law, but I do believe that I have a better than average understanding of it because I am an attorney. I'm watching it thinking, you're just doing an awful job, dude. I mean, there's an old saying, and I put it on Twitter this morning in response to my friend Scott Buttram down at Trustful Tribune. There's an old saying in the practice of law, if the law is in your favor, then argue the law. And if the facts are in your favor, argue the facts. And if nothing at all is in your favor, just bang on the podium and do the best you can. And I'm saying, old boy up there in the prosecution for the Rittenhouse trial is doing a whole lot of podium banging because he ain't getting nothing right. But one of the things he said is a clear example of the fact that this is a case where it appears what's really happening. What's really happening is a more conservative viewpoint and a Second Amendment right is being put on trial. Because no one's saying boo about the fact that there was a rioter who pointed a gun in his face, who came and provided testimony at trial, and I don't recall anyone saying anything about him being there, burning buildings, and pointing his gun at anybody. Not at all. So here's one headline that came out of this. Here's part of the woke sideshow carnival. Here it is. Story, I pulled this one off the Post-Millennial. Post-Millennial breaking, Rittenhouse prosecutor falsely claims, quote, he said this, I heard it, you lose the right to self-defense when you're the one who brought the gun. What? No, I got news. I said this briefly on the show yesterday because it came up yesterday afternoon. But I'm just looking at this thinking, okay, I got to go watch the video. Did he really say that? Yes, he did. He went on, he described how this is an altercation in a parking lot. And it was a man who brought a gun to a fist fight. And you lose the right to self-defense when you're the one who brought the gun, when you're the one creating the danger, when you're the one provoking other people. It was the other folks, first of all, who were burning the place down. There are businesses that have never recovered in Kenosha, Wisconsin. They're scared to death of what's going to happen with the verdict comes out, if it comes out today or whenever. But for this guy to say, as an attorney, keep in mind, as a prosecutor, that means he's an attorney. Allegedly, he passed the bar. And he's saying you lose your right to self-defense when you're the one who brought the gun. So that would indicate that all of us who conceal carry for protection, that we have no rights to use it because we brought the gun with us, therefore self-defense. That's ridiculous. And that's the kind of thing that's happening in this trial. So I'm just telling you that right there, folks, this case is seen as somewhat of an indictment on conservatives and the Second Amendment. And that, to me, is a classic example that comes out of this trial. But I'll tell you, too, the Rittenhouse case, there's a story off of Fox. I got this one today. It's an opinion piece written by two career prosecutors, Kurt Altman and Brett Tolman. I don't know them personally. I'm just reading the article where they wrote. It says the Rittenhouse case is a cautionary tale for conservative legislatures. What they're saying here is there's a real trend right now to pass all these things called truth in sentencing laws that remove the discretion of the judge and put minimum sentencing in place and that kind of thing. And I get it. But what they're saying here is it puts the prosecution in a very heavy-handed position. I guess I could see that. But what they're saying here is that prosecutors are becoming more and more emboldened by this, and the guy, they're claiming the guy in the Rittenhouse trial is the classic example. He thinks he's got the upper hand. He thinks he's going to make up the evidence as he goes along if necessary. He's going to misconstrue the videos. He's going to tell you that what you're seeing is not what you're really seeing. Well, all they're saying here is this trial is a microcosm of what's happening in many other places around our nation. And it says here in the article I'm running, this case has brought into focus the abject hypocrisy of wokeness, because it goes on to point out that woke criminal justice reformers claim to advocate for protecting the rights of a defendant, but they've lamented over what they perceive as a pro-defense judge in the Rittenhouse case. In other words, it's only when it fits their narrative that they want to have sentencing reforms. That's their perspective, but I find it to be very interesting in the woke carnival sideshow. All right, moving around the nation in the woke carnival sideshow. Let's see, which one do I want next? I have some fun stuff here. Here's one from the Biden administration. Did you see this thing that came out in the last few days? They're saying right now that there is a schism, if you will, a schism. A schism, pray tell. What is a schism? It's a divide. I say again, a divide between President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris. Maybe there is. I don't know. I'm not in there. I don't know. I'm just telling you what I see. I do say she's being sidelined. I do agree she's a nothing vice president. She appears to be a figurehead because she gets nothing done. They send her on all the fluff trips and give her jobs that she doesn't have to do. And, you know, every time she goes to the podium or does an interview, she laughs like a hyena and just kind of messes things up. Goes to France and embarrasses us by trying to pretend she has a French accent. Craziness. All right. But so the schism was in just came out. CNN, of all people. CNN. Did you hear this? CNN wrote a piece this past weekend, and they got all kinds of media uproar because they dared to go ahead and call out the Biden White House. Oh, yeah. And they talked about this so-called schism. Well, then, so, you know, in an effort, I'm sure, to make things look good, the Biden White House was doing their big bill signing yesterday for the infrastructure bill, the $1.25 trillion, trillion with a T, infrastructure bill. And they brought out, it was President Biden walking out to the podium. I think they were in the Rose Garden. And he's got another lady who, well, I'll get back to that in a minute, who I didn't know who she was, and Vice President Harris. And, oh, they're just slapping each other on the back and laughing all the way to the podium. Oh, it's so good. It was obvious that they were attempting to put on this big happy show. But the part that indicates to me, this is difficult here, the part that indicates to me that she was not originally, Vice President Harris was not originally intended to be a part of this. Somebody forgot to tell the announcer that she was now part of the ceremony. And so suddenly they say, after things get started, the vice president is going to the podium, and the announcer says, "Please welcome Ms. Heather Kurtenbach." And the vice president's standing there looking silly at the microphone because she's not Heather Kurtenbach. It's the other lady. It's obvious that the agenda had been prepared and given to the announcer, and they had not changed it to insert the new Happy Fest for Vice President Kamala Harris, and she stood there looking a bit confused for a second and said, in just a minute. And no one retracted it, and then no one introduced her. She just kind of went on. So there's that. That was just, it was just one of those hilarious but yet awkward, like break you out in a cold sweat kind of moments. But here's the other thing I got to think about. In terms of the woke sideshow, who is the other lady? Who is Heather Kurtenbach? Why was she standing there next to the president and the vice president when he's going to sign a bill worth $1.25 trillion? You know who she is? She's a union activist. It took me some doing to track this one down. I finally found one little article on a website called Good News Media. Holding it in my hands, all highlighted up so I could talk to you about it on the show. She is Heather Kurtenbach. And apparently the person writing this article said the same thing. Who exactly is Heather Kurtenbach? Well, she literally went to the podium, and she's the one who introduced President Biden. What? Which was, according to the article, an atypical move. Yes, it was. And she's the owner of a construction company. She has been with Iron Workers Local 86 for 15 years. I believe she's from Pennsylvania. And she it goes on to basically say she's basically a labor activist for the Iron Workers Union. And she's the one. So here, picture this now. The president of the United States wants to make an announcement, but he wants to also portray something. What does he want to portray? He's a union man. And so out of nowhere, Heather Kurtenbach is called in, and she's on the agenda to introduce the president instead of the vice president. And then they, at the last minute, realize we're probably going to get in trouble here. We better go ahead and let the VP come in, and they forget to put her name on the announcer's list. That is a woke carnival sideshow if I ever saw one. All right. Copper, take us to a break. I see we got a caller. Just realized we have a caller holding on the line. Please ask Jeff from Indiana if he can hang on for a minute because he's always good. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We will be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. And by the way, if you find yourself driving outside of the overly broad range of our AM-FM capability here at WVNN, just know that no matter where you go, you can listen to us. We got listeners in multiple states. All you got to do is go to any smart device, even on your phone, and go to rightsideradio.org, rightsideradio.org. Click on Listen Live, and no matter where you is, there we is. That's why we got folks in all kinds of states, one of which is our brother Jeff from Indiana, who's on line five. Hey, Jeff, Phil Williams, how you doing today, bud?
Doing pretty good, Phil.
Good. Go ahead.
Can I pick your brain?
Go right ahead. Whatever's left, you can have.
On the Kyle Rittenhouse trial, how can a prosecutor just out of the blue just charge anybody that he wants to for absolutely nothing, with absolutely no evidence at all of a crime?
No. In fact, I would say there's a couple factors here. Number one, he is being tried under Wisconsin law. So if Wisconsin law has some differences, that's very likely. But I will say this, typically for a crime, if there's a grand jury involved, there'd have to be, you know, an indictment being brought by the grand jury, referred by the grand jury. And then, but at the same time, you've got the charges have to be assessed and they have to match reality. And in this particular case, you've already seen one charge thrown out at the close of evidence. The judge said that the weapons possession charge is a non-issue and threw that one out after seeing that the evidence did not support it. So to answer your question, yeah, they've got to have real charges.
But I'd like to know what the grand jury would have saw. I saw all the videos and I seen somebody protecting themselves from getting killed. So what in the world did the grand jury get to see on this that they would indict this person?
And I don't know how the charges were brought, but I do know this. that there if it was a grand jury, if there was a grand jury involved, grand juries are not held to the same evidentiary standards that you are in court. All they do is find sort of like a probable cause kind of thing. They find that there's sufficient evidence to warrant bringing charges. The trial itself then fleshes them out. Sometimes people's lives are destroyed just by a grand jury indictment, even though they get off later on without any trouble at the trial level. They're acquitted. But yeah, there's supposed to be legitimate charges, and prosecutorial abuse is an issue sometimes.
And that's what I'm wondering about this prosecutor. Can he be brought on charges for malicious prosecution? Because it seems like he's just trying to further his career, it seems to me, because, I mean, he has absolutely nothing to stand on.
Well, I don't know that for a fact. So here's the deal. Is he a knucklehead? Yeah, he seems to be a knucklehead. And did he do a good job? Does not appear he did a good job. Now, I'll say this. I don't know. I assume things are the same in Wisconsin. But in Alabama, it is not admissible to discuss potential settlement, whether it be civil or criminal. You don't get up there in front of the jury and say, well, we tried to settle with him and he wouldn't take it. So I don't know for a fact that maybe there wasn't an attempt to plead down the charges, and that the defendants, in this case Rittenhouse, felt like their case was strong enough to where they said, no, we're not pleading down to anything. We're going to try the case. I don't know what happened outside of the jury trial.
Well, I have a prediction, though. I'd say he's going to get off on all charges, and he's going to become a very rich man from all the woke media that's sitting there trying to make him a white racist and everything else, you know.
Which boggles the mind. I'm not sure how he's a white racist when it's a white guy who shot other white guys. I don't know where they get off on that. It was Antifa burning down the city. And was he supposed to be down there? I don't think he should have been down there. That was probably not wise, but nonetheless, I mean, the kid was not breaking the law by being there. And he was definitely under assault.
Yeah, so it's like I do with all the woke people and everything. They all call us white racists. I call them all pedophiles. I've got just as much evidence of that as they do of me being a racist.
Oh, my gosh. That's a pretty blanket response. All right, Jeff. Hey, thanks, man. Appreciate you holding during the break. And as always, we appreciate your input. Hope you're doing great, and be safe on the road, all right? All right, that was Jeff from Indiana, one of our callers from out of state. And enjoy that. I love the fact, well, I mean, it's an honor to have this platform. It's even more of an honor when you realize that you've got people who listen on a frequent basis. And then on top of that, we got people from way outside of the usual listening audience for this station because they pick it up online. And, you know, I was on a conference call this morning, a Zoom call, actually, and with people from all over the state. And knowing that they are listening to it or downloading the podcast in other parts of the state outside of WVNN's, you know, pretty broad range is pretty humbling. And that's because I guess it's favor. It's something that is a blessing. And it's because we put everything we have into making a show that people want to tune into. And that's pretty cool. So we got all kinds of wokeness going on. We come back from this next break, I'm going to be delving right back into the woke carnival sideshow. I mean, have you heard about some of the things that are happening? Like, how about the New Hampshire high school student who was suspended because he said there's only two genders? Really? Well, that's what's happening. Or how about this? Do you know how many Alabamians have been arrested related to the January 6th events at the U.S. Capitol? Several. I'll tell you about that when we get back. It's all part of the Woke Carnival Sideshow on Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back.